This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the girls of Atomic City will look behind the scenes of the Manhattan Project, where thousands of women worked unknowingly to help build the world's first atomic bomb. Plus, prison nurseries will get a glimpse of what it's like to become a mom behind bars. But we begin with Syria's civil war, which recently entered its third year. More than 70,000 people have been killed in the conflict, and over 1.4 million people have fled their homes. Lives and families have been shattered, historic landmarks decimated, and the economy is crumbling. Among those finding refuge in neighboring Jordan are innovators and diaspora entrepreneurs who may well be seeding the ideas and infrastructure of Syria's future. Patrick Clark is a reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek covering small business and entrepreneurship. Together with Sarah Topol, he reported on Syrian innovators who are now operating out of Jordan. And Patrick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Virginia.
You've spoken to a number of people who have found a little redemption in this experience of leaving their country. Tell us about one, Hussam Ali Kaj.
So Hussam Ali Kaj was a web designer in Aleppo, catering primarily to industrial companies that operated in that city. When those companies started closing or suspending operations due to the war, he sort of ran out of business opportunities. And at around the same time, a friend of his reached out and suggested he apply to a startup accelerator called Oasis 500 in Amman, Jordan. And so at the beginning of this year, Hussam left for Amman to launch a new business.
We've heard a lot recently about growing resentment in Jordan against throngs of Syrians who've crossed the border. But this Jordanian startup, Oasis 500, is pretty much actively recruiting Syrian ventures. Why is it doing that and what is it doing?
They are actively recruiting. When they first had the idea, they were reaching out to Syrian entrepreneurs through personal networks. But since then, the scope of the recruitment has grown. They've created funding to pay for travel expenses and house Syrians when they first arrive in Jordan. And they've started advertising on social networks like Facebook or LinkedIn and even running radio ads on Jordanian radio stations. So when I spoke to Usama Fayyad, who's the founder of Oasis 500, he told me that they saw a couple of advantages in recruiting Syrian entrepreneurs. One is that whether or not they had run a technology company or a technology startup, by virtue of having run a business, they had sort of existing skills like managing employees or delivering products on time. At the same time, the dire circumstances in Syria created a certain necessity, and sometimes people call them necessity entrepreneurs, you know, which can give people sort of added incentive or drive to make their company succeed, because if the company doesn't succeed, then what?
Well, Usama Fayyad, who runs Oasis 500, it looks like a real startup. There are photographs in your article of, you know, people coming down a metal slide inside of
it. Yeah. I mean, it's a Silicon Valley technology accelerator, you know, with an open office plan and a metal slide connecting the two floors. It operates sort of along the same lines that if you're familiar with a Y Combinator or 500 startups or any of the many accelerators in the United States, where they give a startup a certain amount of money. In this case, I think it's about $30,000, and the use of office space for a certain amount of time, usually a few months, and they provide mentorship on sort of how to pitch investors, basically how to strategize and think about setting up and running a business. And in return for that, Oasis 500 or any other accelerator takes a percentage in equity stake, a percentage of ownership in the company.
So it's not entirely humanitarian, this exercise.
No, I mean, they would say it's not humanitarian at all, I think. You know, it's the humanitarian piece, that's a benefit. I think that they would say that, you know, they hope that they are creating companies that will benefit Syria in one way or another at some point in the future. But the goal of Oasis 500 is to invest in companies, and they're recruiting Syrian entrepreneurs because I think that is a way to make money.
There's another term that you use in the article. It's called diaspora entrepreneurs. Now, I'd never heard this term before. Is this something that's kind of coming out of the uneasiness or instability in the Middle East?
It's interesting because when you think about the concept of the diaspora entrepreneur, it's probably something which has always existed, but it's certainly something that has existed in the context of the United States. When I was reporting this story, more than one person suggested that maybe the greatest example is sort of what entrepreneurs and scientists and engineers who came to the United States during the run-up and during World War II. I think that it's also true that, you know, as conflicts throughout the region have sort of necessitated or driven people to move from country to country, you have had people who've had to arrive at a new place and start a new business. And the alternative to launching a business in many cases for these people is doing whatever work that they can find, which may not pay well or offer much in the way of long-term opportunity.
Now, a lot of tech startups have fled to Europe or Turkey since the beginning of the conflict. Those who you covered are in Jordan. What does Jordan offer in particular?
So as I understand it, as sources told me, the King of Jordan and the country have been interested in building an IT infrastructure for a number of years. So that's sort of the starting point. There is existing technology infrastructure for companies to make use of. Another important factor, and this is true in technology ecosystems everywhere, is they talk about the need for a hero, an entrepreneur who has had a big success and sort of inspires people to follow in their footsteps and sometimes invests in entrepreneurs coming up behind them. And Jordan has certainly had that. In the case of Maktoub, which is, I think, still the biggest success story in the regional tech ecosystem, Maktoub was a email service that was pretty much the first to utilize the Arabic language. And that company sold, I believe, for $164 million to Yahoo. And so that has also sort of served as a factor, both in terms of creating the idea that technology startups can be sort of lucrative way to invest to wealthy people in the region, and also giving entrepreneurs sort of a couple of figures to look up to.
The internet was down for about 19 hours this week in Syria. What is the it made me curious about what the tech sector actually looks like in Syria now. I mean, it sounds like there's been a lot of brain drain as people have fled the country.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know exactly what life is like in Syria right now. I'd be reluctant to hazard sort of a guess at what the landscape is like for tech companies still doing business there. But I think for the same reasons that Hussam Ali Khaj left, you would expect that others would have tried to take their businesses elsewhere as well. Whether it's internet outages or simply a question of there not being a whole lot of customers left to do business with, you know, so much as internet companies tend to be service providers of one sort or another, it makes sense that they would go somewhere where there are services to provide.
This civil war in Syria is now entering into its third year. We don't know how it is going to end or when it will end. What do you think these diaspora entrepreneurs will bring back to Syria to help it rebuild?
When entrepreneurs leave Syria and manage to keep running businesses elsewhere, at the minimum, you're keeping your talent in shape, right? It means that when the war ends, there will be a cadre of Syrian business people who have, hopefully, functioning, thriving businesses. Whether those businesses translate back or not, I guess, will remain to be seen. But just the fact that the country's entrepreneurial talent is continuing to develop, I think, is meaningful, at least to some extent.
Patrick Clark, a reporter from Bloomberg Businessweek, speaking to us from the newsroom there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Patrick covers small business and entrepreneurship. He wrote with Sarah Topple about Syria's tech startups finding a refuge in Jordan.